Good morning.
Good morning.
Last week we talked about the nail-scarred hands of Christ. We talked about his suffering. We talked about God suffering. We talked about ourselves suffering. In our trials and in our hardships, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is walking through those with us because he suffered. He knows what we're going through. And we talked about how when one member suffers, all members suffer. So remember this week to be praying for the Farnworths, as we are with them, suffering with them. The Lord Jesus Christ is with them through this time. When Jesus was getting ready to go back to heaven, and he ascended, and he talked to the disciples, and he said he was leaving. What I want us to understand is that in our suffering, that we understand that we can still cast our cares upon Christ, even though he is in heaven. But he also did not leave the disciples alone, and he did not leave us alone. Today we're going to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we're going to be in chapters 14, 15, and 16 as we go through this. And we're going to look at the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a very important subject, the work of the Holy Spirit, in the lives of believers, in our lives. We'll never be successful as a Christian, never be an overcomer, never be victorious, never be a soul winner or a prayer warrior. We will never give glory to Jesus Christ in any way if we are ignorant of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is fundamental and it is mandatory if we want to live the Christian life and know the joy and victory that God has for us in this life, in this life. Now in these chapters, John 14, 15, and 16, we're going to be looking at the work of the Holy Spirit of God. These chapters, along with chapter 17, are what is called the Upper Room Discourse. It was a very intimate time that the Lord Jesus Christ had with the disciples before he went back to heaven. We're going to look at four things today that the Holy Spirit of God wants to do for us, in us, through us, and with us. And if we get these four things down in our hearts and down in our lives, then they will literally transform us and transform our lives. Number one, the Holy Spirit was given that he might restore the presence of Jesus in us. That he might restore the presence of Jesus in us. Look, if you will, in John 14, verses 16 through 18. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Here the Lord Jesus is promising that the Holy Spirit will come to reside in us. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was active. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was a presence with men. The Holy Spirit came upon men. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is to be in us. To be in man. The word translated, I will be in you, means that he has come to dwell permanently in us. He says in John 14, 18, Jesus again, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. The word orphans means helpless, orphans. There's probably not anything that is more helpless than an orphan, without mother, without father, left on their own. And that's what he would. And now that's what we would be like without the Holy Spirit, orphans. He says, I will not leave you as orphan. I'm not going to leave you helpless. I'm going to come with you, he says. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to live in you, and I am going to abide. That is, I'm going to dwell by my Spirit in you forever. Notice verse 16, he says in John 14, 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Now the Greek scholars teach us that there are two different words for another. One means another of a different kind, And the other word means another of the same kind. For example, if you had a bike, and then you went and got another form of transportation, a horse, right? That is another of a different kind. But if you went and got another bike, it would be another of the same kind. You no longer have a bicycle, but a horse, different kind. If you have another bike, it's the same kind, another of the same kind. And when Jesus said, he shall give you another counselor, he meant, I will send you another of the same kind. That's the word for another he uses here. And what he means is there is going to be someone just like me, just like Jesus, who's going to come. Now let's look at a good definition of the Holy Spirit, and let's look at who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is Christ in the Christian. The Holy Spirit is much like Jesus, a counselor of the same kind as Jesus was. He says in verse 18 that he will not leave us as helpless orphans. He will come to know us. He will come to us. Now he's not confused. And on one hand, he says, I'm going to send a counselor. Then on the other hand, he says, I will come to you. Now, because Jesus is God, and because the Holy Spirit is God, and because the Holy Spirit has come from the Lord Jesus Christ to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, though there is a distinction in the Godhead, when we have Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. And when we have the Holy Spirit, we have Christ. Now, we see Jesus was with the disciples when he said this, but notice what he said in verse 17, John 14, 17. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you. It's Jesus speaking, right? That is, I'm right here with you and you know me, and will be in you. Now, while the disciples were there, Jesus was with them. He was in their midst. He was with them. He talked with them. He worshiped with them. He fellowshiped with them. And he was right there with them. But he said to them, it is better for you that I go away. Now, John 16, 7, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Now, if most of us were honest, there's probably been a time in our lives when we wished we could have lived on earth on those same days when Jesus walked the shores of Galilee, right? I know I've thought about that. We thought how amazing that would be if I could have been there to see him feed the 5,000, to see Lazarus raised from the dead, see Jesus walk on the water. We wish we could have been there and seen that, right? To be there and see the Lord Jesus perform all these miracles. Most of us have a feeling in our heart that the disciples had something that we don't have because they had Jesus, that it was better for them than it was for us, but that is not so. That's not so. Jesus says it is better for us than it was for them. Verse 7, again, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. It is better because when Jesus was here, he was located in a particular geographic area. He was bound by flesh. He was here in a particular spot. And if he was here in one spot, he couldn't be here in another spot. He was limited, right? Do you remember in John chapter 11 when Martha got so upset at Jesus because he wasn't there when her brother Lazarus died? You can almost see her pointing her finger in the face of Jesus, right? Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but you weren't there. We'll never have to say, oh, Jesus, if you'd only been here. It wouldn't have happened. He's here right now. And the amazing thing about it is now Jesus can be right here in this church this morning with us. He can also be with our children wherever they are, and he can be with our family members wherever they are. You see, he is everywhere. He is in every Christian. The most wonderful thing about it is I have all of Jesus there is. I have all of Jesus there is, right? He's mine. He is my Lord. You see, I have fellowship with him today, and all of Jesus there is in me, and he is mine. But all of Jesus there is also in you, and he is yours. that every one of us now have the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit in us. Isn't that great? Amen. And that's amazing. That's special. It's glorious. I have all there is of Jesus, and so do you. We have all there is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first reason that the Holy Spirit came is to restore the presence of Jesus in us. But the second reason that he came is to represent the person of Jesus to us. John 14:26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, the word counselor here is the word paraclete, and it is the same word in 1 John chapter 2. Now, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." Now, in 1 John 2:1, the Bible says that we have an advocate, one who speaks to the Father in our defense, our advocate. But in John 14:26, the Holy Spirit is called the Counselor. Now, they're the same word in the Greek language. The word paraclete translates both counselor and advocate. So what we're trying to say is that advocate and counselor both translate paraclete. Stay with me. Now, the Holy Spirit is a paraclete, and a paraclete is an advocate. Well, we say, okay, so you've still got me in the dark, because I don't know what a paraclete is. I don't know what an advocate is. So to be a little more clear, an advocate is a fancy name for a lawyer. A lawyer is somebody who pleads a cause, who pleads a case. Now, not only is the Holy Spirit given to restore the presence of Jesus in us, but the Holy Spirit is also given to reveal the person of Jesus to us, to reveal Jesus to us. He is here to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, every Christian has two advocates. We have two advocates. The Bible says again in 1 John 2:1, "But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." Now, Jesus is our advocate, and he represents us to the Father. You see, there's a great lawsuit going on in the heavens. The devil is the prosecuting attorney. The Bible calls the devil the accuser of the brethren. He's taking notes on us, and he's watching us all the time. And any time we do wrong, he reports it in heaven. He accuses us before the Father and points out our faults, points out our flaws, points out our failures and our sin. But we sin, and we're ashamed of our sin. But when we sin, the Bible says again in verse 1, 1 John 2:1, if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he takes our case and he pleads our case to the Father. And while the devil accuses the Lord Jesus with his nail-pierced hand stretched out, he says, "Holy Father, it's true, Craig sinned. It is true that he failed you, Father. It is true that he stumbled and fell. But, Father, you see these nail prints in my hand, in my feet, the wound in my side. On the basis of these wounds, I intercede for him. I plead his case. I paid for that sin with my blood, and I atone for that sin. Even though he has failed and stumbled, Father, because he confessed that sin and put it under my blood, count him justified and clean and pure." Isn't that amazing? Isn't that great? We have an advocate in heaven when we sin before the Father. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so we're related to that advocate, and he represents us to the Father. But on the other hand, we're related to another advocate. This advocate is not God the Son, but this advocate, this lawyer, is God the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit does not represent us to the Father. Jesus represents us to the Father. The Holy Spirit represents Jesus to us. He takes the things of Christ and makes them known to us. It is the Holy Spirit in us that is pleading the cause of Jesus Christ in us, and he is taking the things of Christ and making them real to us. You see, in the Bible, in Bible times, every tribe had a tribal advocate. And that tribal advocate was there to plead the cause of that particular tribe or family. That advocate was there to protect the family home, to protect the family name. He was there to protect the interest of a particular family. Now, one of the supreme functions of the Holy Spirit is to make Jesus in us all that he was to the disciples, and even more. He is to represent the Lord Jesus Christ to us. It is only through the Holy Spirit that we can really know the Lord Jesus Christ. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is a verse of scripture that is often used at funerals, quoted at funerals. It is a great verse. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And so often we say, if we could just see how wonderful heaven is. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. That is, one of these days when we get to heaven, we're going to know all these wonderful things, right? Well, that may be true to some degree, but that's not what Paul is saying here. Paul is not saying that we have to wait till we get to heaven to see them. Look at what he says in verse 10. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11. He says, we don't understand it with our eyes. We don't understand it with our ears, and we don't understand it with our heart. That is, with our emotions. But notice verses 10 and 11. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who loved him. But he has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thought of man, but the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now the Holy Spirit of God searches, discerns, and understands the deep things of God. What we can't learn with our eye, what we can't learn with our ear, or what we can't learn with our emotions or our heart, we can know. We can know these things when the Holy Spirit of God makes those things real to us. Now the Holy Spirit of God knows God in such a way that he can make God known to us. He can make Christ known to us, and he represents the things of Christ to us. Is Jesus Christ real to us? God has given us a teacher to make Jesus real to us. Look in John 15, 26. John 15, 26. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. He will what? He will testify about me. He will testify. He will tell us about Christ. Look now in John 16, verses 13 through 14. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Do we see what the Holy Spirit does? He represents the person of Christ to us. The Holy Spirit is as much God as God the Son is God. He is as much God as God the Father is God, but the Bible says he will not speak on his own. He will glorify me, Jesus, and he will take the things of mine, Jesus again, and will show them to us. So he will glorify Jesus. He will take the things of Christ and show them to us. What is the work of the Holy Spirit of God? He is a divine paraclete. He is an advocate who takes the things of Christ and reveals the things of Christ to us. And it is an amazing thing to have a teacher like that living inside of us. You know, all of us are a little strange at times. We can be a little strange, right? We all have our little idiosyncrasies. No, I wasn't looking at you, Matthew, for a specific purpose. We all have our little idiosyncrasies. We all have our little proclivities, right? Sure we do. But now we have a teacher who understands us perfectly, living inside of us. When Thomas Alva Edison was a little boy, they said he wasn't very smart, and he was kind of foolish and kind of slow in school. He couldn't have understanding, and his teacher was upset with him. They held him back, and finally the preacher didn't even want to teach him. She said, he's a numbskull. He's stupid and he can't understand anything. How cruel. And his mother said, my son is not stupid. My son is brilliant. You teachers just don't understand my boy. He's different. I will teach him myself. His mother, with a mother's heart and a mother's love, was able to look past what some of the teachers were calling stupidity and into his heart. Thomas Alva Edison, a brilliant man, right? This man had such a brilliant mind, but it needed to be set free. And through a mother's love, that happened. The one that loves us better than our mother, the Holy Spirit of God, he knows how to take the things of Christ and show them to us, to teach us, to come alongside us, give us understanding. He will teach us things that our pastor cannot teach us. He will teach us things that the Sunday school teacher cannot teach us. But he will teach us in the innermost being of our heart. In our spirit, he will reveal the things of Christ to us and the things that we may not be able to articulate, but things that we will know. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. We thank God for his Spirit because he makes Jesus real. Is Jesus real to you? Is Jesus real to us? Do we really know him? Do we know him? Or do we only know about him? The word know in Greek means an intimate, personal relationship. Do we love him? Do we laugh with him? Do we fellowship with him? Do we cry with him? I don't know him as I ought to know him. And I don't know him as I'm going to know him. But I do know him. Do you know him? Do we know him? Somebody asked George Truett. George Truett was a preeminent 20th century Baptist preacher, pastor, and evangelist. He was known for his passionate preaching, and he preached to the Allied forces in World War I. Someone asked him, is God real to you? He said, quote, he is more real to me than the flesh on my body and the skin that covers that flesh. The Holy Spirit of God will make Jesus real to us. The Holy Spirit of God is an advocate. He is here to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. He's to take the things of Christ and show them to us. He has been sent to restore the presence of Jesus in us. And we're never alone. We are never alone. He has been sent to represent the person of Christ to us. He's been sent, thirdly, to remind us or to recall the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. Look in John 14. John 14, verse 26, Jesus said, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said. Not only does he open our mind to learn the truth, but he opens our mind to recall the truth. The Holy Spirit can entrench himself in our heart. And that's when we become a real, victorious Christian, a Spirit-filled Christian. The Holy Spirit of God has a stronghold in our heart and in the things of our mind. The Holy Spirit of God has a ministry to the subconscious, and he brings things to our mind. There are times when I've been teaching or talking to someone or defending the Word of God, and this is the only explanation because Scripture comes to mind, the right words at the right time. I have no idea they were in there, and out they come. The Holy Spirit of God will bring things to mind for us. The Bible says that God will give his people the tongue of the learned. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He awakens me every morning by morning and wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. And he will bring things to our mind. And we don't have to have a good memory. So as long as we're yielding to the Holy Spirit of God, he is going to do this in our lives. He is ministering to us every day. That is the Spirit's ministry. Let's look in Luke. Luke 12, verses 11 and 12. Jesus is talking about persecution. And that persecution will come to Christians. And this is what Jesus says. Verse 11. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities. That is, we're going to be brought before the religious and the government officials. Now listen to what he says. Do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. To us, that is one of the greatest promises in the Bible. What would we do? What would we do if they put us somewhere? Put the Christian cross on the ground and said, spit on that cross and deny Christ. We could lose our job. We could lose our home. We could go to prison or worse. Suppose they hold our family hostage. What would we do? And these things are happening across the world. We just haven't seen them here yet. What would we do? I don't know what I would do. I can tell you it's easy to say right now what I would do sitting here in this church, safe, my family safe, knowing I have freedom. But what about under threat? So listen now, we don't need to worry about that. Why? Because it'll be given to me and it'll be given to you what we need to say in that day and what to do. The Holy Spirit of God will tell us exactly and precisely what to say. And Jesus said, don't be worrying about that kind of thing. He said, he, the Spirit of God, will bring to our remembrance all things that he said to you. What an amazing and what a wonderful ministry that the Holy Spirit of God has to us, the children of God. He is here to recall the promises of Jesus to us. And yes, we thank God for that ministry. Isaiah says in 50 verse 4 again, the sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He awakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. And when emergencies come, when trials come, when suffering and hardship comes, he will make us adequate. Let's look at one last thing about the Holy Spirit. This is the fourth ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has been given not only to restore the presence of Jesus in us, not only to reveal the person of Jesus to us, not only to recall the promises of Christ to us, but he has been given to release the power of Jesus through us. Look again in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer, and in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Our Lord has told us when he was here on this earth, he gave us a great commission. He told us to go out and preach the gospel everywhere. He told us to be victorious. When the Lord Jesus Christ gave them their marching orders, he did not abandon them. He did not walk off and leave them. And these early Christians went out against the imperial might of Rome. They went out against the stiff-necked bigotry of the Jews. They went out against the sophistication and intelligence of the Greeks. And they turned that world upside down and inside out for the Lord Jesus Christ because the Holy Spirit of God was in them. When we as Christians preach, teach, share the gospel, serve in any way, in any capacity, we are not to be dependent upon ourselves and our own talents, and our own strength. We are to be dependent on the Holy Spirit of God. Now, what does the world need to hear? They need to be convicted of sin. That's the curse. They need to be convicted of righteousness. That's the cure. And they need to be convicted of judgment, the condemnation, if they haven't received the cure, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Sin, righteousness, and judgment, that is what the world needs to hear. And it's not our job to do that. It is not our job to do that. Not our job to convict. We share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We declare the truth. The Holy Spirit of God is here to convict. And if he doesn't convict, there is nothing that we can do. All we can do is to make certain that our heart is right with God and that we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that there's nothing between us and our Savior. And Jesus said in verse 7, John 16, 7, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away." Jesus said, because when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And when he comes to you, he's going to convince and convict and reproof the world of righteousness and of judgment to the degree that we as a church are Spirit-filled and to the degree that we pray for one another. And to the degree that the people who come among us are going to be convicted of sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, this church, not this building. You, me, the body of believers is God's church. The Holy Spirit is alive and well here, and we need to be a Spirit-filled body. The Holy Spirit has been sent to release the power of Jesus through us. The Holy Spirit of God is the secret, his power in our lives. There is no way to live the Christian life in our own strength, in our own power. That is why the Lord Jesus sent the Holy Spirit of God. He restores the presence of Jesus in us. He represents the person of Jesus to us. He recalls the promises of Jesus for us, and he releases the power of Jesus through us. And again, we thank God, and we need to thank God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he cannot do these things unless we receive him and we allow him to be Lord. We turn our lives over to God. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But what it literally says is, where the Spirit is Lord, where he is Lord of our life, there is liberty. Have we given him every room and every closet and every nook and cranny in our life? There are no locked doors against God. Have we given him every room? Have we emptied ourselves of those things that keep us from being filled with the Spirit? Can you fill a glass of water that's already filled? If we're filled with other things, those things that are keeping us being filled from the Spirit, do we love the world? Do we love God? Do we have unconfessed, unrepentant sin in our lives? Have we yielded ourselves and made ourselves available for God to use us? And guarantee you, if you ask God and you mean it to fill you with his Spirit, he has commanded us to be filled with the Spirit. You ask him to fill you. Be prepared. He will fill you. You ask him to fill you and use you. He will use you. He will use us. Our prayer is that God takes the things of Christ and makes them real to us, and that he fills us with his Holy Spirit and equips us and uses us today. Do you know God? That intimate, personal relationship is what the word means. Not know about him, but know him. Do you know God? John 17, 3 says, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Do you know him? If you want to know him or you want to understand more about this, please come and ask either myself or Ryan after service. And I will share with you what the Bible tells us about how to know the Lord Jesus Christ and how to know God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you so much for the Holy Spirit, his ministry in our lives, your power in our lives, for us to try to live this Christian life without you, without your power, is impossible. So we ask that you would help us, Father, to have the courage to ask you to fill us with your Spirit, to equip us, to use us. We pray that you will show us those things that we need to empty ourselves of, that we can be Spirit-filled. And that command that you gave us in Ephesians to be filled with the Spirit literally says to be being filled. It is not a one-time thing. It is to constantly be being filled. And we ask that you will bring that to mind. Help us to be filled, that we can serve in your power, that we can give you glory in our lives, that you can equip us and use us in your strength. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.